Good morning and welcome to West End United Methodist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's a joy to be with all of you and to welcome those of you who are visiting with us, especially if you're here for the first time or visiting from out of town. We are graced by your presence and hope that you feel the Spirit of Christ moving among us and that you feel welcomed in this place. I hope everyone has an opportunity to make a new friend this morning at the passing of the peace or at the end of the service. And of course, I always want to welcome those who are joining us by live stream. We have lots of church members who are physically unable to be here and family members across the globe who join us for worship every Sunday. And we're really glad that you are with us. For those who are present, I invite you to sign in on the registration pads. They should be at the end of the row and making their way down again. And if you are visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, I would invite you to share an email address or a mailing address, and that will give us an opportunity to reach out to you and to begin a conversation about how we're trying to live out God's love in this world. If you're a college student, our college students gather every Sunday after this service for lunch. If you'll go out this doorway to your right, you'll find a sign that says college lunch meets here, and you'll go together as a group for that time of fellowship. This week, the season of Lent begins. It begins with Ash Wednesday, and we'll have services here at the church at noon and at 6 p.m. on Ash Wednesday to begin that season together. One of the wonderful traditions of this congregation is to gather for worship on Shrove Tuesday, the night before Lent begins, for a pancake supper and for Jazz Mass, a great service of worship and celebration. And that service will be at 6:30. The pancake supper is at 5, and we will have gluten-free pancakes available for those who need that. Then on the Thursdays during Lent, we have a concert here in the sanctuary every Thursday at noon, followed by lunch. The concerts are free, and if you could RSVP for the lunch, that will help us get our numbers right. Finally, another opportunity for us to grow together during the season of Lent. On Saturday, March 7th, we are joining with friends from Clark Memorial and Gordon Memorial United Methodist Churches to tour some of the Nashville Civil Rights sites and to learn from Dr. Rip Patton, who was one of the Freedom Riders. And he will lead us on that tour. We have 17 spots for each congregation. We still have some seats open for West End, so if you're interested in that, please look in your insert for information or contact Stacy Harwell Dye. We are continuing our journey through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and we come up against some of what might be Jesus' most difficult teachings this morning. So let us open our hearts and minds to hear from Christ this morning and to recommit ourselves to follow where he leads us.
come to celebrate God's presence.
And God's love expressed through Jesus Christ.
We come remembering Christ's life and ministry.
And the life we are called to live.
Let us rejoice in God's gift to us. There are times when we live as though Jesus is not the teacher we follow. Let us confess our sins before God and one another. Compassionate God, we have failed to live up to your laws of love. We withhold from those who ask. We keep our possessions for ourselves. We refuse to help others along the way. We love only those who love us back. We turn away from those who are different from us. We make neighbors into enemies. Forgive us, we pray. Open our eyes, our hearts, and our hands to the people around us. Let us be generous with our love and with our resources. May we love our neighbors as you love us. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Found on page 786 in your pew Bible, this is a reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The word of God for the people of God.
All the grown-ups to be seated, and I see some kids waiting to come on up. Come on up. Thanks to all of you who led us in singing this morning. Beautiful, beautiful. Good morning. Good morning. morning. Well, some of you who have been around this church for a while know that we have church t-shirts. And this is what we call one of our bedrock beliefs, something really, really important that we all believe. And this says, God loves everyone unconditionally. Now that bottom word's really long. Look how many letters that is. Unconditionally. And what that means is that God loves everybody no matter what. There's nothing anybody could ever do to make God stop loving them. God loves each and every one of you perfectly. And God thinks that you're wonderful. And so, if we're going to be God's people, if we're going to wear this message out in the world, that means we have to do our best to love everybody no matter what. And you know what? That's really hard. Because there are a lot of people that get on my nerves. There are some people out there that are mean and not very nice people. There are some bullies out there. There are some people that it's really hard to love. And when Jesus says, love everybody and love your enemies, he doesn't mean we have to feel all loving to everybody, but we have to do our best to treat everybody with love. And Jesus said, one of the ways we can start to do that is to pray for people. So there may be somebody that you find it hard to like. Maybe someone who's not very nice on the playground or someone who has said something not nice to you. My guess is that most of us out here have someone that we're having a hard time loving as God loves. So what I want us to do is to think of that person. If you'll close your eyes and put your hands together and let's pray and bring that person into your mind. And now let's pray. Dear God, we know that you love us and you love everybody no matter what. We're thinking now of somebody in our own life that it's hard for us to love. So help us to see them surrounded by your light and filled with your love and peace. Help us to look at them like you look at them. With love, and help us to act out of love always. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for Jesus, and help us to continue growing in our love for you and for everybody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. This is a t-shirt that's about y'all's size, so we can get them in your size too. So we are about one-third of the way through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be taking this Sermon on the Mount all the way through the season of Lent. We've hit just about the one-third mark. And I have to wonder, when Jesus got to this point in his sermon, if there were some who got up and walked out, it was just too hard. We know from other places in the Gospels, John's Gospel and other Gospels, there were things Jesus said that so offended people or so challenged people that they left, that they walked away. The rich young man walked away when Jesus invited him to give away all his possessions. There's a moment in John's Gospel where Jesus is teaching and there are people who say, this is just too hard, and they leave. Now, we don't know that that happened at this moment in the Sermon on the Mount. But when Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I know when Colleen read it for us, we all said, thanks be to God. But there was part of me that wanted to say, I'm out. This is just too hard. I mean, it's one thing to wear the t-shirt and to think about it in theory, loving your enemies. When I think about those people that I really consider mean-spirited bullies, people I have trouble loving, ooh, I don't know if I can follow where Jesus is leading. And what makes it even harder to swallow is to think about who Jesus is talking to. He's talking to a group of poor Jewish peasants who were living under the thumb of the Roman army. Every day, Roman boots are passing through their villages. They know what persecution and oppression feels like. And here Jesus is saying to them, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Do not raise up an army or armed resistance against your oppressors. I imagine there are some who said, I'm out. I don't know if it will help us to accept these teachings or not if we dig into them a little bit, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to explore together what Jesus is saying in these very difficult teachings and what he might be inviting us to do and to be in the way we live in the world. So let's break it down a little bit. Love your enemies. What does Jesus mean when he says love? As I said to the children, Jesus is not talking about feelings here. We can't manufacture warm, fuzzy feelings toward people who are persecutors or oppressors or to the neighbor who drives us nuts. It's not about feelings. It's about actions. How do we act toward other people? How do we treat those who mistreat us or mistreat others? Jesus gives some examples of how we might act and how we might respond in love to those who are our enemies. He says, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, offer them the left cheek. If someone sues you for your coat, give them your cloak also. If someone forces you to walk 1 mile carrying their pack, willingly walk a second mile. Now, wait a minute. Is Jesus saying we should just let oppressors and persecutors do whatever they want? That we should be doormats and just let evil have its way in the world? I don't think so. This is where I'm grateful to Walter Wink and other theologians who have helped interpret this passage for me in a way that is exciting and empowering and life-changing. Walter Wink wrote a book called Engaging the Powers. If you want to read more in depth, it's just a powerful book. But in that book, he talks about these examples. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, if they strike you on the right cheek, that means they have used the back of their right hand. And in Jesus' day, that was a way not only of assaulting someone, but of saying to them, you are less than human. I do not regard you as my equal, a way of demeaning the other person. And so then to turn and offer your left cheek is a way of taking power back and saying, if you're going to strike me as your equal, because I am your equal. If someone sues you for your coat, offer them your cloak also, because then they would be stripping you naked. You would be left naked, and the whole world would see the evil and grasping of this person who is demanding not only your coat, but your cloak. That response would bring shame on the other person and expose them. Turn the other cheek, give your cloak, go the second mile. Back in Jesus' day, a Roman soldier had every right to demand any person to carry his pack for a mile. But he'd get into a lot of trouble if he forced you more than that. They couldn't ask for more than a mile. But if you willingly say, oh, I'll carry your pack and I'll go a second mile, once again, you're taking back power and agency and you're exposing the oppression of this soldier. It's subversive teaching that Jesus is offering here. It's a way of loving, a way of nonviolence, that can resist evil and expose it and perhaps even change the world. We've seen it happen. Every day for the past 2 weeks, when I go down the stairwell outside my office, I see the poster advertising our civil rights tour on March 7th. And it's a picture of those brave men and women who walked into Woolworths in downtown Nashville and took their seat at the lunch counter and would not be moved. They weren't violent. They weren't hateful. They were strong. And they had been trained in this kind of nonviolent resistance so that when people came and slapped them and spit on them and tried to drag them off of those stools, they stood their ground because they believed in a higher love, in a more powerful love than one that was being lived out in our world. So Jesus is not saying love means be a doormat. But love is also a way of acting that we hope can bring out the best in people and in our world. He goes on to say, pray for those who persecute you. Can you imagine what it takes for a Jewish peasant to pray for the Romans who occupy their town? But that's what Jesus, the radical kind of love Jesus is calling them and us to. And I know it's hard to believe for those who are in positions of power that those whom they oppress or persecute would actually pray for them. That is what is so radical and subversive about it. That we would be so grounded in the love of God that we could even see our enemies, our persecutors, as created in God's image. And pray for their well-being, and pray for their wholeness, and for their transformation. Then we get to what I think is probably the hardest thing Jesus ever said. Be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. If we've held on this long, maybe we can hold on a little longer and see what Jesus is saying here. For one thing, he's not saying never make a mistake again. That's what we think of when we think of being perfect, that we never make any mistakes, we get everything right all the time. But the word that Jesus uses here really means complete and whole. God's love is complete. There are no gaps in God's love. There is no one who is left out of God's love. And so we are called to love as God loves, that no one would be left out of our love either, even our enemies. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Which brings me to what I think is at the core of this teaching that has made it really hard for me to accept. Jesus is calling us to love as God loves, to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, simply because that is who God is. Now, I want to love my enemies because I want to change them. I want them to be transformed by my love. I want to make friends out of enemies. I want to resist evil in a nonviolent way so that society will be transformed, so that I can bring about change in the world. And that happens sometimes, and thanks be to God, God continues to work through God's people to bring about justice and peace and reconciliation in our world. But that is not why we love our enemies, and that is not why we pray for those who persecute us. Jesus says we love as God loves because that is who God is. And if the world doesn't change, if our enemies don't change, so be it. Nevertheless, we love. I don't know about you, but that's so hard for me to accept, to have the courage to love anyway, to have the courage of those civil rights activists, to sit in that chair not knowing if society would change or not, not knowing if they would live through the day. to love our neighbor, not knowing if they will ever change or not. We are called to love everyone unconditionally. May God give us the strength to do so.
We respond to that love of God by affirming our faith. Please rise in body or spirit and turn to your hymnal number 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out the gray card located in the pew racks in front of you. Please indicate if you would like your prayer request to be shared or if they should remain confidential. You can place your cards in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. This morning, we offer our sympathy to Stephen and Adrian Fazio, who are mourning the death of Stephen's father, Michael Fazio, who passed away February 18th in Starkville, Mississippi. Among his other survivors are his granddaughters, Francesca and Amelia Fazio. Services will be held in Starkville on February 29th. We also extend our sympathy to Bill and Janet Warfield, who are mourning the death of Bill's father, Charlie Warfield, who died February 19th. Among his other survivors is his granddaughter, Carly Warfield. At this time, let us turn to our holy and loving God and offer up both our spoken and our silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O gracious God, who created all that we see and all that we are grateful, as always, for the opportunity to approach you in prayer. You are almighty, wonderful, powerful, and loving. Who are we that you are mindful of us? And yet you tell us to come to you, to cast our fears and our anxieties and our sorrows upon you. We are grateful for these teachings of Jesus that we receive today in the scripture, and yet how hard it is to really pray for our enemies and those who persecute us. But this morning, God, we try. In this time set aside for prayer, we think of whom we quarrel and fight, with those who oppress and bully, and we pray for them. We pray for their hearts and for ours to be turned to your love. We pray for our fighting to cease, for your peace and your shalom to reign. And in this moment, we name them silently in our hearts. God, help healing to begin even in those spaces that we thought healing was impossible. God, in a world hurting at every corner, with another shooting in Germany this week, another execution carried out in our name, and the rise of hate groups and hatred of your beloved children because of their religion, we need your healing now more than ever. God, we ask for you to remain with those who are sick. Provide protection to those who are in harm's way. Be with those who are lonely or isolated, either by their own choosing or the choosing of others. Make your presence known to those who are caring for loved ones as they transition from this life to the next. Be near to those looking for work or burnt out in their jobs. God, walk alongside us as we choose the better way, to turn the cheek, to walk the second mile, to love our neighbor. None of us are perfect, and yet you call us to it. We need your help to do this work. In the name of your Son, we pray the prayer he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, as God's gifted people, let us give our gifts back to God.
Thank you.
invite those who are joining to come forward. First, I'd like to introduce you to Claire Bratton. Claire is a retired professor, and her previous church membership was West Nashville United Methodist Church. And then Hugh Woody, and Hugh is transferring from Glendale United Methodist Church. So I just have one question for the two of you. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Will the congregation please stand and join me in welcoming our newest members? Family of God, Claire and Hugh are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite you to greet these folks through the doors to your right following the service. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
The founder of our Methodist movement said, we are all going on to perfection. So go from this place to grow deeper in love with God, in love with self, and in love with neighbor, that the world might know the unconditional love of God for all people. Amen.